Well, for that very first flight, I used a standard unmodified office chair. It was a Steelcase Uno, and it came up from my workplace is where this kind of came from. We were talking on a Friday afternoon, and I argued we could make this fly, you know, the chair I was sitting in. And in fact, that's exactly what we did after about a year of preparation. However, that chair was permanently retired after that first flight. It was rather difficult to stay sitting in that office chair at 8, 10, 13,000 feet. So that chair has been retired undefeated, and I now use a modified harness. It kind of looks like a mix between a climbing harness and a backpack with some clip-in points that we attach the balloons to.
And these balloons, are they the kind of balloons I could go and buy in any kind of novelty party shop?
You could go and buy them, but they're more like the type of balloons that are used at car dealerships and promotions and open houses, that sort of thing. A little bit larger than you'd see at the party store.
And how many do you need to get liftoff?
It depends on what we're trying to do and how long we're trying to fly. If we're trying to do a long duration, long distance flight, we take more cells. You just add more cells to the system. So we're talking on the order of between many dozens and up to, say, 70 balloons of these good size, large 5 to 8 foot balloons.
And what did it feel like the first time you took off underneath a cluster of balloons like that?
It was a tremendous mix of emotions, actually, because we had been preparing for it for so long, trying to get to that point. And then there I am, 3, 5, 8 feet off the ground, 10 feet, 12 feet, 20 feet, 50, 100 feet, and I keep climbing. And it takes us up to, like I said, 10, 12, nearly 15,000 feet. So you asked how it felt. Very proud to make a system fly that we caused to come into existence. Yet still some concern, genuine concern at 15,000 feet in an office chair that we would be able to fly the system safely.
I'd be terrified, absolutely terrified, I must say.
Yeah, I didn't use that language. I was kind of skirting it, though, wasn't I?
Yeah, so you sounded to me as though you might have been a bit scared.
There was that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was concerned because that is a high altitude flight for an open gondola. Now, we were fully prepared for that. I had an oxygen system, an emergency parachute if I needed it. And since that first flight, we've gone on to actually fly even higher, further, longer. And it's been just an exceptional, uncommon experience.
What about steering and what about managing the height at which you're at? I mean, how do you make sure that you can come down again?
That's right. You steer any balloon system by changing your altitudes and to take advantage of different winds that exist at different altitudes. And I change my altitude by, if I'm going up and I don't want to go up, I can simply pop balloons or cut them away and I become less positively buoyant or negatively buoyant and I come down. If I'm coming down, I don't want to come down anymore, I drop ballast. And that ballast is in the form of water. You asked what it felt like. One of the coolest things is releasing that water because you don't get to see rain from that perspective very often. You're creating this wonderful myriad of droplets from your water ballast. It makes you lighter and you stop descending.
Now, why did you choose the English Channel as one of your challenges?
It is a classic challenge. It is an iconic challenge. It has called to aviators for generations, since long before you or I were born. So it is iconic. I mean, the White Cliffs of Dover, to go right over the White Cliffs of Dover was just a tremendous pleasure.
And what was that experience like? Was it hair-raising? Was it dangerous as you went across the channel?
I wouldn't say it was hairy or terrifying. Rather, it was a tremendous feeling of pride. Like I say, right over the White Cliffs of Dover in complete silence. My aircraft makes no sound. So I'm right over the White Cliffs, just over the channel, and there's no prop, no rotor, no jet engine. I'm floating in complete silence. And the only thing I hear are the waves of the channel below me. So the feeling wasn't of terror, but rather of... You can kind of hear it in my voice. I'm just was very proud and very excited and very delighted.
Did you have anyone along with you to catch you if you fell into the drink?
There was a helicopter, and the idea was the helicopter would chase me across. They couldn't do rescue, but they could certainly have eyes on if I went in the water. However, I was about 3 miles out. I've got about 40 miles ahead of me before I hit dry land again. The helicopter turned around and went back. It was running low on fuel. I flew on.
What was the landing like?
I've got it coming down very sharply, and I'm approaching a power line. This is normal in ballooning. We're trained on power lines. I release ballast. I clear over the line, and I have a field in front of me. I cut away cells, and I come down, boom, and I plant that landing. I plant it right next to a cabbage patch, and it was boom, bounce once, stop.
And was there anyone there to see you land?
We did get the gendarmes out and came to make sure everything was okay. And they were a little aggressive at first, but they just wanted to make sure everything was okay. Once it was clear to them that, you know, by talking to their aviation officials, that we had had permission and we had filed a flight plan, we had a transponder, we were certificated pilots, they de-escalated over the course of about an hour and everything was fine.
Now, since then, you've done a voyage over Lake Michigan, which was, I think, higher and longer than the voyage over the channel. How did that go?
Yeah, you call it that, Lake Michigan. Everybody calls it that, Lake Michigan. It's a bit of a misnomer. It's huge. Freshwater inland sea would be more appropriate. Now, this was a nighttime crossing. I departed 10 minutes before sunset. So by the time I started the crossing, it was already full dark. I had a 3/4 moon rising in the night. It was a 100-mile water crossing. So I'm now there 2-3 o'clock in the morning, 30, 40 miles in any direction before there's any land or any light besides the moon. And I think I'm supposed to say something really upbeat about it. But to tell you the truth, other pilots must be braver men than me, because I found it humbling to be out there floating 10,000, 12,000. In fact, at that point, 12,500 feet with 30 miles in any direction before there's land or light. I found it to be very humbling.
What next challenge are you hoping to set yourself?
I would love to launch on a multi-day flight, launching out of California, perhaps out of Catalina Island, cross that channel, make landfall between San Diego and Los Angeles, and then trek inland, potentially for a multi-day flight, cross the Sierra Nevadas and head towards America's heartland, floating, complete silence underneath the gas cluster balloons. But that's in development.